to an American FC, a Premier League podcast that will surround the results from each weekend, and we look ahead to the following weekends as we look at team scores, where they stand, and what's next for each team. First up, we have Watford versus Liverpool. Liverpool came to Mananute and they dominated with a 5-0 lead. There was goals from Mane, one from Salah, and three from Firmino, and all three of Firmino's goals being the only three shots he took on goal. Liverpool dominated with a 77% possession, had 19 shots and 8 on goal, compared to Watford's 23 with 6 shots and only 2 on goal. This continues to show that Klopp is entrusting the team that he has given. Salah continues to dominate in the Prem and also in Champions League as well, with us looking at maybe that Salah could possibly be the best player on or in the world at this moment in time. I don't see any other player really dominating. I don't see any other team dominating right now. We looked at Chelsea at the beginning of the season. Chelsea looked very dominant when Lukaku came. But as of right now, I think that Chelsea's kind of falling off. And I think a lot of it has to do with the 1-0 loss they got to City a couple weeks ago. So with Liverpool being so dominant right now and still being the only undefeated team, is it Liverpool that is in the top of the title race at this point in time? I think that Liverpool looks dominant. I think that there is a chance they could push on to win the title if their team stays consistent, if they stay healthy. At this time, of course, it's a little too early to tell, but I do think that Liverpool looks the most dominant. But we'll have to wait and see where Chelsea stand. It just kind of depends at this point. After that, City welcome Burnley to the Etihad. Now, me being a City fan, I really thought that Man City was going to take this game to Burnley. I thought it'd be a big, big win, scoring 22 goals to Burnley's 1 in the last 4 meetings against Burnley. I really thought that City was going to be a very dominant force. Unfortunately, City did win the game 2-0, but unfortunately for me, I felt like Burnley very, very well hung on against City. Burnley did not allow much of anything for City's attacking mentality. City struggled with counterattacks against Burnley. Burnley looked to be all over them in different parts of the field. Now, City did get the second goal. It did come late from Kevin De Bruyne. But for me, honestly, I think that City's struggling this season without having a striker. And with Pep, I don't feel like Pep really knows what's going on. I feel like Pep has one situation on the right-hand side, another situation on his left-hand side. I feel that Pep doesn't have a system that he's consistent with any given week. So for me, I would love to see City dominate more. I would like to see them keep to a system. Of course, we're looking for a striker to come in January, hopefully with Haaland or, you know, any other striker at this point I would take. But City needs an all-out goal striker. And it looked to be the same way this past weekend against Burnley, where they struggled to find goals. Sterling looked good, of course, as always with his speed against Burnley. De Bruyne was making bad passes. Cancelo continues to show why he's one of the best right backs right now in the league, or left backs, depending on what side Pep has him playing on at the time. But for me, City really needs a striker, and they really need to dominate more. After that, or during the same time frame, we had Aston Villa welcoming Wolves. Aston Villa dominated the game 2-0 into the 80th minute, and then the entire game changed. Wolves fought back from a 2-0 deficit and within 11 minutes from the 80th and 91st minute to score 3 goals. Goals from Ruben Neves on the final kick of the game on a free kick led Wolves to the victory that they got over Villa. Now, for me, my thing is this. You are winning 2-0 on the 80th minute. All you have to do is seal out the game. You're also playing at home. So the big question I have is, what's next for Villa? Where do they take this mentality of losing 3-2 to Wolves in that kind of time frame? And where do they go into their next game? Because for me as a player, or me as a coach, when you are winning 2-0 and you dominate a game and you do very well in the game and, you know, you have the 14 shots. Yeah, you only had 5 on time. You had 14 shots. You were constantly pushing towards that line of Wolves and really taking it, the game to them. Why were you unable to not hold on to that? Where do you go from here? So, for me, Wolves should build on this. Wolves should really take it to the next level. Wolves should build on this win and take it to the next game and really build off of this so they can come together as a team and they can dominate and push forward to get a win. For Villa, I think they need to go back to the drawing board. They need to look at the defense-wise. They need to see where they stand. They need to understand what kind of goals they conceded, why them goals were conceded, what happened, why were they given to Wolves, what could they have done differently. We also had Norwich versus Brighton. Now, Brighton started the season very well. Of course, now they're starting to level out a little bit and kind of drop down off the table. But going to Norwich, I feel like they should have really took the game to Norwich. Norwich has 6 losses this season already. They have yet to win the game. They have the worst goal difference in the league with only scoring 2 goals. So for Brighton to not go to Norwich at Carroll Road and capitalize on that is kind of sad to me, because I feel like Brighton could have went there and really took the game to Norwich. It's a bottom team. It's a team that has almost the same amount of talent as Brighton has. It's a team that both, you know, have finished in the lower part of the table for numerous seasons or have gone down and come back up. So Brighton could have went to this game, built on the success they've had so far this season, and really took the game to Norwich and could have won. Obviously, it didn't happen, but I still consider Brighton to be probably a very high mid-table team this season. I think that Brighton will still push. I don't think that they're going to be in the European spots that some people had them tipped off at the beginning of the season when they were doing really well. I think they'll still finish in mid-table, and I think Norwich is still going to go down. Had Southampton versus Leeds. Southampton won the game 1-0 after welcoming Leeds. Game was pretty even most of the game. Goal didn't really come to after the first half. Both teams kept about 54-46 possession on and off, back and forth. Now, shots for Southampton was 19 with only 4 on target. And Leeds only had 3 shots, but nothing was on target for them. So, there was a lot of fouls. A lot of cards were given out. So, for me, really wasn't much of an exciting game. But I do see Southampton starting to kind of get a groove going. I see that Leeds are still struggling, which is kind of bad because, you know, last season Leeds really came into the Prem up from the Championship, and they really dominated. And Leeds really showed that, you know, they were here to fight, they were here to compete, and nothing's really changed. You know, they didn't really lose any players, they hadn't really gained any players. They still got the same coach. So what I want to know is, what's going on in the Leeds dressing room? Are they not backing from the coach? You know, is there player situation that they're missing? You know, where's the fight that Leeds had last year, like when they opened up their campaign last season and went 3-3 against Liverpool at home? You know, where's the Leeds that beat Man City last season? You know, signing Jack Harrison from City for $15 million in the summer and bringing him on full-time at Leeds, you know, I really felt like Leeds was really building this team that was going to stick out and be a top contender this season, even if they were pushed for just for European glory this season, for Europa League. So for Leeds, they've had a setback. They've only won 1 game this season. But Southampton has only won 1 game too. So I felt like them going into this game together, Southampton have not had to win. Leeds could have capitalized on that and kind of took it to Southampton a little bit more. But I felt like it was kind of an even game. Nothing was really given out. So now we come to Leicester versus United. So Leicester won the game 4-2 at home at the King Power Stadium. And early goal came through Mason Greenwood. Outrageous stunner. First goal. Man United looked like they were going to kind of take it to Leicester a little bit. Not soon after Mason Greenwood scored, Tielemans got a goal back, which was also an outrageous stunner. So the team looked to be kind of even, 1-1. They both were doing pretty well. I figured the game would probably end up being about a 1-1 draw, or, you know, one team would get a 2-1 win. Now, in the 78th minute, Leicester got their second. and showed poor defending from United when the goal went in. Now, Marcus Rashford equalized on the 82nd minute, bringing back the game 2-2. The game looked to be pretty much over. Nothing else was going to happen. Not even a minute after Rashford scored, Jamie Vardy put the goal in the back of the net, past De Gea, which once again shows why United's defending was so bad. Now, they did get a fourth goal on the last little bit of the game by Daka, which I felt like Harry Maguire should have done more with, should have got rid of it, should have done something to the ball. Should have got out of play, should have got rid of it, could have kicked it anywhere else on the field. He just looked like he was just standing there. So, when you spend that kind of money on a defender and that doesn't happen, it asks the question as to what is going on with United. So, United spent money on Sancho this year, Varane this year, Ronaldo this year, bringing Ronaldo back. And, yeah, I get Varane was out and Maguire was playing with Lindelof. But it's the same thing they did last season when they finished second behind City. So, with all the money United spent, is it really time for Ollie to be gone? For me, I feel like Ollie's done. Ollie has shown that he cannot lead United to the next step of where they need to be. United, for me, needs to bring in a coach that is experienced, a coach that can win titles, can win Champions League, can win anything out there that he wants to win and go for and win. Liverpool done it by bringing in Klopp, and he barely spent any money to get Liverpool to where they are now. I mean, over 5-6 seasons, you look at the money Liverpool spent compared to what United spent, what's the difference? And it's the coach experience. So for me, United has all these great players in Ronaldo, Varane, Sancho, you know, Maguire in some aspects, if you want to look at it that way, Bruno Fernandes, Pogba. You've got players that are such high caliber players, but are they really playing as a team? Or are they trying to capitalize on individual players to be the one that wins them the game? So I look at it as, has United gotten very lucky this season? And in my opinion, I think United's gotten very lucky with the games that they've or the games they've won, with the goals they've scored, the teams they've beat. But I was reading some stuff earlier, you know, on Twitter, and I saw a tweet that it makes a lot of sense. And you look at it, and this is Andrew Cesar said, you know, Man United with Ollie is like Chelsea with Frank Lampard. Frank Lampard had a great team at Chelsea, but wasn't getting the results that were needed. You bring in Thomas Tuchel, who has experience and drive, and now Chelsea has become this dominant force, winning Champions League last season and pushing for the title this season and continue to build and capitalize on what, you know, Thomas Tuchel has done with Chelsea. It got the same players that Frank Lampard had, minus Lukaku, but yet he's made these players even better and playing them to the best of their ability. So, is it time for Ollie to step away from United? Is it time for the owners to make that decision? Do they need someone like Pochettino? Do they need someone in Conte? Do they need a Pep or a Jurgen or a Tuchel? They need someone who is going to take the players that United has and build this team mentality that United used to have with SAF and really push to win titles again. Because for me, right now, I don't see it happening. I don't see United winning a trophy. I don't see United winning a title. I don't see United winning Champions League. I don't see United winning anything if Ollie continues to stay at United. For me, Ollie's got to go, or United's going to continue to be in this slump by trying to capitalize on individual players, and they're going to keep spending money. It's the same concept when Pep first came to City. We were spending money left and right, and yeah, we were getting results, but we were trying to play against these teams with individual quality. So, you know, with Ruben Diaz coming last season, yeah, that quality, that one player made a huge difference in City's back line. But for United's aspect, when you sign Ronaldo and Sancho, Varane, you sign, you're filling gaps. But my question to Ollie would have been, where was the center defensive mid that United needed? Where was the midfield holding player that United needed? Where was someone who was going to dominate their midfield to allow Bruno Fernandes to have license to get forward, that was going to allow Ronaldo to get forward, allow Sancho to move forward? Because United is letting in, conceding and letting in goals that they shouldn't be letting in. The two goals that came at the end of the Leicester game from Vardy and Daka, both are goals that could easily been dealt with. But it's defensive poor errors. And that just goes to show that for them, it's not the defense, it's the team. It's the team and United's team that just has to play better. They have to become a team together. They have to show that they have that drive to play together and get out of it. You fought back from a 2-1 deficit and you get to go back and you're winning, you're drawing 2-2. So capitalize on that. Push forward as a team. You know, get that mentality that United used to have with SAF and continue to push forward. You went to Leicester and you started off strong with the first early goal, and then you let it easily slip away. Goal by goal, you watch slip away. And so I look at it as fix it. Get Ollie out. Bring in Conte. Bring in Pochettino. Bring in someone who is going to really use that the players they got and make a team out of what United could be. So for the last game of Saturday, we had Chelsea going to Brentford. Now, Brentford's been very good this season. I think that Brentford's probably one of the biggest surprises to anything for the Premier League this season. A lot of people tipped them to go down. A lot of people tipped them to be in relegation right now. You know, but after opening day, they played against Arsenal. They won. A lot of people are like, oh, it's lucky. You know, Brentford, you know, got luck. This is their first game, blah, blah, blah. Brentford played against Chelsea, and Chelsea won the game 1-0, which, you know, I've seen that happening. You know, I figured Chelsea would win the game. But people have to understand that Brentford, being a team that has about spent hardly any money and is new to the Prem, only losing 1-0 at home to Chelsea is a huge, huge, huge accomplishment for them. And they can build on this even more. They had 44% possession against a dominant Chelsea team that had all their starters. They had 17 shots with 7 on target compared to Chelsea's 5 shots with their 1 goal on target. And that's it. So 1 shot on target for Chelsea was resulted in the goal from Ben Chilwell. So if you look at Brentford and Chelsea, does this show the league that Brentford is ready to fight for a European spot? Or is this just continue to be that beginner's luck of being in the Prem like Leeds obviously had last year? For me, I feel that Brentford could easily finish in a Champions League spot. I think that if United does not get Ollie fixed, Brentford could end up finishing in fourth place this season above United and Leicester and anything else. I still think that it's going to come down to Chelsea and Liverpool winning the league, and then the other one will finish off in second with City behind them in third. But if you look at what Brentford's done this season, who Brentford's took the game to, they took the game to Liverpool 2 weeks ago. They've taken the game to Chelsea yesterday. They've taken the game to Arsenal and win. Brentford looks like a very willing and strong team that's willing to drive for the hunger that they want to be in the Prem. So there was an interview when the Prem first came, when the Prem first started the season, there was an interview with Tony, and he said, you know, that they'd come up from the Championship and they wanted to win the league. A lot of people laughed. A lot of people was like, you're not going to win the league, and that's crazy. But Brentford's really doing it. I mean, Brentford is taking the game to every single team they've played this season. And when you look at 3 wins, 3 draws, and 2 losses, with one of those losses being yesterday against Chelsea, that's very, very good for a team that just came up from the Championship, on a team that didn't even get promotion regularly. They came up through a playoff match. So Brentford being the talk of the town right now, in the Prem for me at least, you know, and the most in the team that you look at the most saying like, wow, you know, they did not expect this. Brentford looks to be a team that I really do honestly believe is going to finish in a Champions League or at least a Europa League spot this season. And I could be completely wrong, but you look at what they've done, and it's in the writing. I mean, they're the team that is in hot form right now. Two losses and you're 8 weeks into the season. I mean, this is great for Brentford. So definitely look at it, you know, this past weekend. Chelsea goes back atop, Liverpool in second, City in third. But for me, this weekend, there's just a lot of stuff that happened this weekend that I wasn't expecting to happen. So for me, going into the season, today for Sunday, we got two games this weekend, or three more games left this weekend. So Sunday we got West Ham versus Everton, and we got Newcastle welcoming Tottenham. And then on Monday we have Arsenal welcoming Crystal Palace. So Everton and West Ham, I believe, is going to probably end out in a draw. We got Newcastle versus Tottenham. I think Tottenham will take Newcastle to a 2-1 win. And then Arsenal welcomes Palace on Monday to the Emirates. I think Arsenal will win the game. I think Arteta's doing what he said he was going to do. I think Arteta's doing well, better at Arsenal now. You know, they had a struggle part to begin the season, but I do think that it's getting better for them. I think they'll win the game 2-1, but, you know, we'll have to wait and kind of see how the rest of this weekend plays out. But other than that, thank you for listening, and I will talk to you guys again soon as I post for tomorrow after we go over the next couple games. This has been American FC. Please feel free to hit me up on Twitter at XXVicesXX. You can also hit me up on Instagram at IXVicesXI. I'll be more than happy to take requests, listen to what you guys have to say, answer questions. Also on this link, you can send in your requests, your voting messages. I'll put you in the podcast. We can talk. We can discuss. Tell me where you see the Prem going. Tell me what your thoughts were over the weekend. Let me know where you stand at. Let me know what team you support. You know, I love to do this every weekend. I want to get to know people. I want to see other people's responses. I want to see what other people think. You know, I enjoy the Prem. I love the Prem. It's everything that I could ever dream of a sports being. So let's become friends. You know, let's talk about things. Let's see where each other stands. Feel free. And thank you all for listening to American FC.